Amen. You may be seated. Thank you, team. And welcome to church today. We're here to worship the Lord and glorify Him and open His Word in just a few minutes, but we're also here to honor mothers and motherhood. And so if you're a mom or a grandmom, we congratulate you. If you're a spiritual mother, I think many times as we only think of the physical side of motherhood, but as a church, we have spiritual mothers, don't we? Does anybody have a spiritual mother who's not your physical mother? Raise your hand. Of course. There are women who have worked in our lives from our young childhood all the way up into our adulthood. And so for you, all of you, we want to honor you and thank you. So men, why don't you clap for the women in this room? And so here we are as the church gathered. And for those of you online, we're the church scattered. And so we welcome you from wherever you are here in South Florida and around the world. And we pray that you, if you're a mother, that you are honored today, feel honored. And if you have a mother near you, that you do honor them. And so we thank you. We're going to look at that in just a few moments in time when we get into 1 Timothy chapter 5. But before we do, last week we had a great time after church to pray. And dozens and dozens and dozens of you came forward to pray. And as I was praying with people, I was looking over the shoulder of the people I was praying, and everybody was up here, and I realized there were people that came down that wanted prayer but didn't want to wait and just kind of kept moving and left. I want you to know we're going to do this again today. We pray every week, but this is a special time. This time we've been praying, and so if you would like to pray, like us to pray for you, Francois and Karen, Elizabeth and I, and our whole prayer team will be here after church. After the sermon, there'll be a song, and then after that, just come on down. We're going to have refreshments outside. We're going to be done a little early today, so you don't have to rush off, but please come down, and if there's a big line all over, just wait a moment. Sit and just wait a few moments. Many did, because we talked about blessing last week, you remember, and the importance that God blesses us and that we should bless each other. Today, you're blessing your mothers, hopefully, either in person or on the phone or texting, wherever they are in the world, if they're still living. You're thanking God for your mothers and grandmothers who have gone on. So there's a lot of that, but there's a time of blessing. And if you would like that, if you'd like to be a part of that, men and women, if you'd like to come, we will be here. This is very important, so don't leave without having a time of prayer if you would like that. And we saw a lot of new people, and some of our regulars weren't coming down. So if you're a regular attender and we'd love for you just to come down, you go, well, I'm already a Christian, don't worry about that. If you want to become a Christian, we'll help you. But if you just want prayer, please come down as well. So today we're in 1 Timothy chapter 5, the first half. We're dividing the chapter into two, first half today, second half. And I've asked Francois Visloo to open the word for us today. And before he comes, I just want to let you know, because people go, oh, who's the guy that spoke? And I know we assume everybody knows him, but Francois and Karen have been with us for the last couple of years. They have been a part of a ministry called Operation Mobilization, their adult lives, for their entire lives. They worked on the OM ships. He was the director. They were directors years ago. And then they're African, and so they were a part of South Africa, and then the entire continent of Africa. They ran Operation Mobilization for many years, retired. We were a part of their ministry, we as this church, and many of their missionaries and partners we have had here and partner with them. And so we got to know them, and we said, if God retires you out of that, we'd love for you to come to South Florida, because there's so much work to be done. And so they've been here several years. They have really integrated into our congregation. And let me just ask a question. How many of you know them and have been affected by them through prayer, their ministry? Just raise your hand. Look around. Look. Turn around, Karen. Look and see the people who have raised their hands for the work that you have done. We're so privileged to have him. He knows the word. He acts out the word. And he can teach the word. And so today, let's welcome him as he comes and opens the word. Thank you, Francois. God bless you as you open the word to us today.
Thank you so much, Bill. Good morning, saints. It's such an honor to be able to share God's word with you today. But before we go to 1 Timothy chapter 5, yesterday afternoon we were sitting here as well, just a little bit more than 200 of us. We were celebrating the life of Jean-Paul Senior Cronin, who died earlier on this year. Letty, his daughter, and Jean-Paul II Jr. are the two children left behind. They are orphans because their mother died 2 years before that. Why do I mention that? The thing that moved me so much yesterday is we do not know who's next. The only gift we have is today. Let's make the most of that, especially in the light of it being Mother's Day. Now, Mother's Day is sometimes a difficult day for some mothers for 3 reasons. Each one of us, if I ask you who arrived here by mother, all of us will stand, except those that came by storks, but they are not many. But there are 3 mothers that sit very often with a deep pain in their hearts. They don't even come to church on Mother's Day. Those that God has not blessed to have children. Those that do have children and either God has called the children home or the children has gone wayward. And then those that are not married yet. Women that so desire a husband but have not received one from the Lord. And part of that is because some men are sitting on their hands and they need to hurry up slowly as well. But I just want to say a prayer and want to thank with Pastor Bill all the mothers and all the lives that you've poured into us and enabling us to be here today. Let's just pray together. Our Father, we are thinking back of yesterday, the memorial service, and just been so touched by it again that we only have this day. And I pray that we will live it with our fullest in love for you and in blessing each other. Thank you for the mothers you've given us. We pray today a huge blessing upon them. We also want to pray for those that have not been able to have children. God, I pray that our hope will remain as long as the sun rises every day, that we will hope in you. Those whose children are wayward, Lord, I pray that they will come back, please. And we pray for those that are single and the desire to be married, that you will provide them with a husband as well. And Lord, we pray now as we all come and sit at your feet to learn from you. Will you speak to us through your Spirit, please? In Jesus' name, amen. I brought with me a $100 bill today. Here in Boca Raton, it's what you used to tip people with. It's not worth much. In Africa, where I'm coming from, it's a lot of smackerinis. Many of us have experienced a rough life. We felt that we have been in a tumble dryer. How much of that decreased the value? Can you still buy the same with it? Exactly the same. Even if you throw it down, you step on it, and you kick it around. If I open it up, and if I smooth it out a bit, the value has not changed. Except you are not a $100 bill. That is the average price today around the world for children and women being trafficked. Sometimes it is weapons, sometimes it's drugs, and the third one is women trafficking and children trafficking and even young men trafficking. Those are the 3 biggest industries in this planet. Unfortunately, we don't have bigger denominations in the United States, but you are a $100 trillion person. Your value is not made up by the way you have been treated, by the way you have been kicked around. Your value is given to you by your Father, who says you are precious. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. He has amazing plans for you. And today he wants us to look up to him so that he can realize his plans, his love in this $100 trillion life. Will you join me on a journey as we look in 1 Timothy and learn from the letter that Paul wrote to Timothy? The whole of 1 and 2 Timothy on one side is a leadership letter. Timothy is around 30 years old. He's taking over this huge position of leading Paul's church. Can you imagine that? And Paul wants to encourage him. He wants to make sure that Timothy does not feel intimidated. He wants to make sure that Timothy doesn't feel insecure. He wants to make sure that Timothy is not led into temptation. And he starts off the letter with verse 1 and verse 2 in chapter 5. He says, "Do not rebuke an older man, Timothy, but encourage him as you would a father, younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, younger women as sisters in all purity." He says to him, if you turn it the other way around, Timothy, honor older people. Honor is one of those things that if you give it, you receive it back. If you give respect, you receive respect back from others. Respect is something that I find is so diminishing in our culture. Timothy, respect the older people. And then the second thing that he didn't use with the other three groups, he talked about older men, younger men, older women, and younger women. Which group is not here? Children. Paul wasn't aware of Awana yet. It only came a little bit later. But he said to Timothy, also Timothy, you need to encourage all four of these groups. So the encouraging has to do with all four of these groups. How do you encourage? Encouragement is like two railings. The one railing on the one side is, I brought my plumb line with me today. For those of you that don't know what's a plumb line, you use it to build. It's always straight. Timothy, those that are walking close to the plumb line, Timothy, and the plumb line is God's word. The plumb line is Jesus because he says, I am the truth. So it's not just letters on a page. It is a person. And he says, Timothy, those that are following it, you need to encourage them so they will continue to do it. But on the other side, Timothy, there are some of them that think they know better. So they put the plumb line way over here and think they are the truth. Timothy, encourage them so that they can come back, so that they can align their lives again with the plumb line. And throughout this passage, you will see how he over and over and over emphasizes this point. So the first thing that he's saying to Timothy, Timothy, the church is a family. There was a young man that went on one of these big cruise ships. And he really enjoyed the 3 or 4 day journey. He took with him his sandwiches and his water and everything else. And after 4 days, he was walking down the gangway and the captain was there, shaking everybody's hand before COVID when you greet with the elbow. But then he was asking him, how was your journey? He said, oh, captain, it was fantastic. But you know, captain, around the 3rd or 4th day, I ran out of water and my sandwiches got a little bit stale. Captain said, may I see your ticket? He says, yes, this ticket allows you to eat and drink as much as possible, as you like. Oh, you could see the man's face drop. That is how many of us see church. We are just on sandwiches and water. Half of the church only comes here on a Sunday morning or tune in on a Sunday morning. We enjoy the worship and the messages and everything else, and then we go home until next week. And after a while, it gets a little bit stale. Beloved, church is rich. The love, the fellowship, the encouragement that we receive from one another. We get that when we meet together in worship, when we have fellowship in our groups, when we study God's word together, when there are difficult times, we rush in to come and help you. Can I encourage you to be part of a group, please? And maybe you've had a bad experience in a group. I understand. Family and church is messy. Right? Yes. Billy Graham said, if you found the perfect church, please leave immediately because you're the first problem that entered the church. Church and family is messy. So maybe you found a group that you didn't fit in so well, or somebody said something that upset you. Please come back. Start your own group. Maybe you will be at least happy with the first member. And then from there, we can build it further on around you. But we need you, saints. We are a family. And that is what he was saying to Timothy as he started off. He says, the church, Timothy, is family. But the big difference between the church and Publix is, when you go to Publix, have you found in the refrigerator 1 gallon of love? Or in a one shelf, 5 pounds of patience? Did you find in another one 3 bottles of joy? And 3 tins of forgiveness? No, it doesn't work like that. In our consumer lifestyle, many of us treat the church in the same way. We just click the channels because we don't like what it delivers for me. And church is exactly the opposite. It's not what I get, it's what I bring. The 24 elders fell down on their faces before God, cast their crowns before him. When we come here, we come to express our love for Jesus. We come here to worship him. We come to sit at his feet, to learn about him, so that our lives are filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. That is what church is. And that is why he says to Timothy, Timothy, step right up to it. The second thing that he says to Timothy in verse 3 and verse 5 and verse 16, he says, let's just read that. Verse 3, honor widows who are truly widows. This passage from here onwards to the end of verse 16 talks a lot about widows. But I want to broaden it today because it is Mother's Day. Not just because of its Mother's Day, it's because it applies to it. To women as well. And men, please feel also applied to. These principles are universal. But the reason he was talking to Timothy about widows was, it is a financial issue there, because many people came and thought, oh, this is a time for free handouts. And Paul was trying to teach Timothy and says, Timothy, no, it is not a time for free handouts. There is much more involved in this. Let's learn from him. Verse 3 says, honor widows who are truly widows. And he uses this term 3 times. Verse 5, she who is truly a widow, left all alone, in other words, nobody was caring for her, set her hope on God. She had her eyes focused on Jesus and continues in supplications and prayers. In other words, she was committed to talk to God on behalf of the people. We have such a beautiful example of Anna when Jesus was born. Day or night and day, a complete dedication to God. And then in verse 16, the last part, he says, so that it may care, the church may care for those who are truly widows. God puts a very, very high premium on widows. Actually, there are 4 words that are used together so often in Scripture. Sojourners, orphans, widows, and the poor. Let's read how strong God expressed it in Exodus 22. He says, you shall not wrong a sojourner or oppress him, for you were sojourners in the land of Egypt. You shall not mistreat any widow or fatherless child. If you mistreat them and they cry out to me, I will surely hear their cry, and my wrath will burn, and I will kill you with a sword. Strong words from God. Psalm 68, verse 5, he says, he is a father to the fatherless and an advocate to the widows. God loves widows. He loves the orphan. He loves the sojourner. He loves the poor. How are we to honor the widows? The honor word here has two meanings. The one is we need to bestow honor on them spiritually by caring for them. When we go through bereavement, there is deep pain and deep agony in our hearts. We need to reach out spiritually. We need to reach out emotionally to care for them. And then the third one, we need to reach out practically as well. So honor has also the meaning of financially contributing towards their need. But listen to what he says in verse 6. And again, this is the other side of the plumb line that we just spoke about. So he encourages positively, and then he says in verse 6, but she who is self-indulgent is dead even while she lives. In other words, he's talking to those that are going through difficult times, times of pain, times of bereavement, times of sadness. You know what is one of the biggest challenges we are facing in self-indulgence? In other words, they try to fill them up with all kinds of stuff, but it never fills up. It stays empty. Beloved, one of the most devastating emotions that there is self-pity. And I just want to pause for a moment with self-pity, because that is exactly what he describes here. They are dead even while they are still alive. It keeps us focusing on the past. We are going backwards through life when we are full of self-pity. The second thing is it paralyzes us into inaction because we hold the mirror all the time upon ourselves. The only thing we can see and consumed about is ourselves. And the bad side of it is like a spiral. It goes down and down and down. When you start off with self-pity, it may serve you well in the first month because other people will have pity on you. But when you come to the second and the third and the fourth month and every time you meet, you have the same conversation, people don't care to meet with you any longer. And then the spiral goes further and further down. The loneliness increase. I plead with you, saints, do not start this journey of self-pity. It is dead even while you are still alive. How do we get out of this? It's one of the most difficult emotions to get rid of, to spiral out of. Just three very simple ones, and there is much more involved. And as Pastor Buller said, we want to invite you, if you are struggling with self-pity, come and let's pray with you. But the first one is start with thanksgiving, with gratitude. Just write down one small little thing that God has done for you, just so that you can begin to turn your eyes outward. The second day, write down a second thing and read the first one. And you carry on. Then it's three and you read all three. Then it's four and you read all four. Do it for 30 days. Just start the process of thanking God, gratitude. And the second one is stop praying for yourself, please. Start praying for others. Everything you want to ask yourself or what you moan about yourself or what you're not happy about yourself or what you feel you are deprived about, just focus on others. Ask God to bless. And then the third one, do something for somebody else. Just ask them, invite them, I want to buy you an ice cream. You will have many customers. Just try it once. Or take them out for a meal. Even if you start with little kids, just tell their parents they won't be home for a little bit. But buy them an ice cream. Turn outside of yourself on this journey of self-pity. The third thing we find in verse 4 and verse 8. But if a widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show godliness to their own household and to make some return to their parents. For this is pleasing in the Lord's sight. And then verse 8 is again the other side. This is the positive encouragement. And now Paul is writing to Timothy about the negative side of the picture. He says, but if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Strong words again. Why? The first one is because of the Ten Commandments. What does it say? Honor your father and your mother. We as a church, we must encourage our family members to care for the widows. Not just the widows, for one another. There are so many people in need. But five pastors cannot care for 1,000 people. It's just totally unrealistic. We need one another in the body to care for each other. The Pharisees made a huge mistake. They came to Jesus and they said to him, your disciples are not washing their hands. And then Jesus responded in Matthew 15, verse 4. He said, God commanded you, Pharisees, honor your father and mother. And whoever reviles father and mother must surely die. But you, Pharisees, you say, if anyone tells his father and mother, what you have gained from me is given to God, he need not honor his father. So for the sake of your tradition, you have made void the word of God. Jesus said to him, you hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy over you when he said, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. What did they do? The Pharisees said to their parents, oh, this money was supposed to be for you, but I gave it to God. Horrific. To use God as an excuse for God's commandment, why they are not doing what God has asked them to do. He said, that is why in your tradition, you are not doing what God is asking us to do. Now, parents, this is a big generalization, and only you know what your motivation is. But we see more and more in the Western world, people, and I use the word, parking their parents somewhere for their convenience. And only you know if you've done that for your convenience or if you have their best interest at heart. Do not follow the way of the Pharisees. Do not do it and then make it part of your culture. The third thing was Christ's example. Why should we look after our family? John chapter 19, verse 26 and 27 says, Jesus was hanging on the cross. He was dying for the sins of the whole world. And then he saw his mother. And when he saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, woman, behold your son. And then he said to the disciple, behold your mother. And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. Isn't that amazing? Just the example of the son following the commandments of his father. It's for me just so precious. Then we read in verse 8, the other side of you. But if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Why does he say that? Because he uses two words in verse 4. He says, in other words, you have stopped to show godliness. What is godliness? Godliness is God lives in us. Can you say it after me, please? God lives in us. That is godliness. So what he's writing to Timothy, he says, Timothy, they've taken me out. I'm no longer living within them, because if I live within them, they will portray my love, compassion, care for their family. And the second thing that he says, for this is pleasing in the sight of the Lord. In other words, you are doing something that God is not pleased with. And that is why he said, they are worse than an unbeliever. sorry, they have denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Peter also denied the faith. How did he do that? He says, I promise you I don't know this man. The same work. If we do not care for those in our household, the church must encourage us as family members to care for our household. The fourth thing that Paul was writing to Timothy about, we find in verse 9 and 10. He says in verse 9, let a widow be enrolled if she is not. And then he gives some conditions. What does this enrollment mean? Two things. In other words, Timothy, there are some widows that are truly widows that we need to identify and the church need to help them financially. But the second enrollment, Timothy, is that you need help in making disciples in the church. And this is just so precious to have men and women that are mature, that can come alongside younger disciples that Pastor Bill just referred to when we started off, to journey with them. And it's interesting, the list. Let's just read through them and see if they doesn't ring a bell. He says they must not be less than 60 years old, and then the wife of one husband, brought up children, show hospitality, wash the feet of saints, cared for the afflicted, and devoted herself to every good work. It sounds similar to the list we've just learned of 2 weeks ago for elders, and then the list for deacons. So he says to Timothy, Timothy, invite these women to come alongside and journey with the younger ones in the congregation. And can I plead with you, please? We need so many more mature men and women to come and journey alongside others in the congregation. Yes, we have our groups and we have our Sunday morning worship services, which is magnificent, but we also need one another to journey together, to grow. So the church must encourage godly widows and just more mature people to engage in ministry. And then the last one. It starts with verse 11. And now he talks about those that are not supposed to enroll. He talks about the younger widows. And again, I want to broaden it a bit. He says the church must encourage younger widows to mature in Christ. And then he starts with verse 11, very negative. He says, but refuse to enroll younger widows, for when their passions draw them away from Christ, they desire to marry. Paul has nothing against marriage, because on the next page he says they must get married. But what is this word passion? It's the only place it's used in the New Testament. It is such a strong passion that it becomes an obsession. And when you have an obsession, it blocks you from doing what God wants you to do. It's an emotion that is unhealthy. And that is why he says they are abandoning their faith. So many women are so dead set on getting married, they don't mind if it's an unbeliever or whatever their character look like. I just want to get married. You are in for trouble, saint. We as the body need to help them. I know it's very difficult if somebody is obsessive about something. If they are so passionate, they are no longer willing to listen to any reason. But that's why we need one another on this journey. The second thing that he says to them in verse 13, besides that, they learn to be idlers. They are professional time wasters. And it's a behavior that he says you learn, going from house to house, not only as idlers, but also gossipers and busybodies. How do you come out of this? As you learn to be an idler, you can also learn to be godly. How do you replace idleness? By becoming godly. God lives within us. Begin to spend time with God. Begin to spend time with God's people. He says they are also gossips. And one of the things that pains me immensely is the spiritual gossiping, the sweet-coated, oh, I just want to tell you something so that you can pray for it. Rubbish. You are gossiping. How do you overcome the gossiping? The best illustration somebody gave me was to take a pillow and you cut it open, full of feathers, and you shake it out in the wind. You can never put it back again. That's gossiping, saints. All over the place they are picking up these feathers. They don't know what to do with it. Pillows are there to sleep on. Enjoy the comfort in your own privacy to pray for those God put on your heart. And busybodies, what are they? They are all over the place. They are everywhere where they're not supposed to be. Why are they busybodies? Because they do not understand God's calling. God has called you with a specific calling. He has called you to do His purpose. But if you don't know that, you are busybody. You are all over the place doing your own thing. You're scratching everybody's pudding. It's a disaster. Learn to serve others, not to be busy. Saying what they should not. I already explained that. And then verse 14. So, and I close with this almost, so I would have younger widows marry, bear children, and manage their households. I remember when Karen and I got married, our international director in OM, he said, welcome to signing up for your master's degree in discipleship. I thought, this is funny. After being married for a few years, I realized it is not so funny. He was absolutely right. And then when you get your children, he also called me again. He says, welcome to signing up for your PhD in discipleship. And he was absolutely right. And if you are managing your household, you are signing up for your MBA in discipleship. Can you see all the education that Paul meant for Timothy just in those three simple words? That helps us to mature in our walk with God. And then he closes off with the last part with verse 14. He says, and give the adversary no occasion for slander. What do we do when we are replacing love with passion? We are giving the enemy a place in our lives, a spot where he can set his foot to expand his territory in our lives. And then he goes one step further and he says, for some have already strayed after Satan. So that small little territory that you gave him, he is going to enlarge his territory in your life. So much so that you will begin to follow him and his ways and his lies. And you will find that you are making your own rules. You are no longer abiding what God has called you to do. Let's look at these five different things that Paul is writing to Timothy for. He says, first of all, church, you are a family. And when we finish today, can I encourage you to greet the other family members, to make them feel welcome as part of this family? And for those of you that are online, please come back. We miss you. The second one, the church must honor widows and women and men, all those that are struggling with pain in their lives. The third one, the church must encourage family members to care for one another. We need to look out for each other. The fourth one, the church must encourage godly widows or godly men and women to step into ministry. We need you, saints. And the last one, the church must encourage younger widows, younger women, younger men to mature in Christ. Pastor Bill said to you in the beginning, we want to invite you today to come. If you are a mother and you are struggling in whatever way with children that may be wayward or whatever pain you have, come so we can pray for you. If you are sitting with self-pity, come that we can pray with you. If you are struggling with any of these other areas that God may have been speaking to you today, come, we so desire to pray with you. Even if you just want to come so that God can bless you, it will be such a privilege to pray with you. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we sang about it. Your name, your name, your name is so majestic, so beautiful. And we just bow down today and worship you again. Thank you for your word that is so clear. And it just cuts through all the hay and the wood and the stubble. And I pray, Father, that you will burn out all the dross, please, that just the gold can remain behind. Thank you for this church, this part of your family. It is such a privilege, Lord, to be part of this. But will you help those of us that are still on sandwiches and water to sign up for the full meal, please, Lord, and to be part of this journey? And Lord, I also pray that for those that are struggling, that have pain, bitterness, self-pity, unforgiveness, resentment in our hearts, Lord, we want to lay down those stones today, and we want to join you in what you are doing. Meet with us today, please, Lord, and bless our mothers. In Jesus' name, amen.